This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this feel-good Friday. After opening day, Mets lose to the Astros. The Yankees beat the Brewers. We've been talking about it all morning long. You can go back. Check out anything you missed on the free Odyssey app back at 6 o'clock, breaking it down. Boomer talking about needle movers. We have had a good one today. We've had some visitors from Seton Hall. We've stuffed the Vajankles into the CBS Sports sneakers. It's been a true feel-good Friday today.
It has been.
Despite the Mets losing and a little bit downtrodden. But we bounce back because we've got 161 more to go. And this is not going to define us, Boomer.
I know. And tonight is a big night. We got the Rangers at the Ducks. We got the Knicks at the Bucks. So you got the Ducks and the Bucks. and then, of course, you know, I mean, this is the end of those seasons, and they're going for the playoffs, and hopefully the Knicks are going to get their stuff together here.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think I've been saying this for weeks now, and I could feel totally silly when the playoffs starting to get smacked around. I think there's, because we've gotten so used to the Knicks being bad, and then they turned into a good team really quickly that was like fighting and scrapping and clawing for everything that they got. You know, Knicks fans, we haven't experienced that sort of go through the regular season, be good enough, show flashes, but kind of not really care as much because you're super talented and you know you can beat most of the teams and then turn it on into the postseason type of team. Like, that happens a lot. That happens a lot with the really good teams. If you think, like, oh, are they going to be able to flip a switch? How many times have you heard that? Oh, the team's been good, but they're not been that good because they flip a switch. And we're just not used to that with the Knicks. Like, there's so many basketball teams that are good that have, like, you know, win 50 games, but it just, this feels like there's something missing in the regular season that they don't care as much. So I do believe that this team is going to look a hell of a lot better, and they're going to be better defensively, and they're going to look like they're inspired more than they have been in the postseason. And then that team that has been put together with the talent that it has, I think could go toe-to-toe with those two teams, even though they haven't, talking about the Cavaliers and the Celtics, even though they haven't shown that in the regular season. Just a different world. It's a different environment. You can't tell me that Madison Square Garden in those playoff situations.
Well, we saw last year.
You can't tell me it's the same. It's not.
Well, they miss Hartenstein.
Yeah,
Hartenstein, whatever.
It's Stein,
they miss him. They miss him desperately. He was such a big, important part of that, and they had to move money, and they couldn't afford him, and he's now at OKC.
Well, they actually couldn't pay him as much as
OKC
stupid, yes, yeah, stupid-ass NBA nonsense rules.
Yes.
That somehow you can, to keep a player, you can pay him more than everybody else, but in this instance, they couldn't pay him as much to keep him than another team that was trying to poach him. I don't understand.
Tier 3 A right. Dash C 105.
Mid-level exemption.
Whatever.
Yeah, pie.
Right. So, but I think they missed the toughness of he and DiVincenzo. There's no question about it. But in order to build a team the way that they are right now, they had to move those guys or couldn't sign those guys. So, I don't know. I don't know if this team can just turn it on. I really don't. I mean, I think they should be able to win their first series. The question will come, who will they see in the second series? Most likely Boston, and that's going to be difficult. That is really going to be difficult. Now, that all depends on whether Jason Tatum's ankle is serious or not.
I'm sure he'll be okay by then. It's a long time from now. It really is. I mean, they'll have plenty of time to get where he needs to be. I mean, they don't even need, like, they really... They don't need to do anything with him the rest of the regular season. Like, he's not a guy that's going to have to knock rust off or anything. And if he even does, they'll do it in the first round and smack around some slob team and then move on to the next round.
Well, so, this is where those trades, the amount of money that they paid OG Anunoby, the trade for Mikal Bridges, the amount of money that they're paying to Karl Anthony Towns, what they gave up to get Karl Anthony Towns, and put this group together, this is where the real pressure is going to really rise and the expectations are going to rise. So, I mean, I hope you're right. I don't know. I just don't know. And the same thing with the New York Rangers. I mean, like, you're waiting, and you're thinking you're seeing something, and all of a sudden they fall flat. And when I take a look at the Rangers and the Islanders, both fighting for that one final wild card spot, the Rangers have the easier of schedule, at least right now in the short term. And the Islanders, this next five games for the Islanders are going to be brutal. I mean, they play some of the best teams in the Eastern Conference over the next week.
We're having some fun with your traditional sports talk topics that we make fun of from time to time with the needle mover.
Yeah.
I'll give you one. Another one of these. We're coming up. We're knocking on the door. Best sports month. What do you think? April? Is it April the best sports month? Or is it October?
You know what? For me, it's April if all the teams are in the playoffs that are supposed to be in the playoffs come April and May.
I mean, it is tough. Now, there's no regular season football in April. We know that. But there is the draft. So October is great. I see October to me feels more special. You got, you know, the NFL season in its second month. You got baseball playoffs and you get in the beginnings of the seasons, the other, you know, the winter sports, the beginnings of them. But it is hard to argue with April because...
Okay, but you also have
the national championship game in basketball is played in April. The Masters is in April. The NFL draft is in April. You've got baseball now having been started. The Mets and Yankees are playing. And then also you got the playoffs for the winter sports. Hard to argue.
Yeah, hard to argue.
Hard to argue.
That's a good point.
April, best sports month. 888.
I kind of like it.
Worst sports month, February. Well, can you say that if the Super Bowl's played in February? Worst sports month, July.
July is like the dead time.
You do get NBA free agency in there.
You do, but it goes quickly. You
know, yeah.
And there's not as many players moving around.
But
there's a couple handful of big players. Maybe there's a trade or two.
And training camp starts at the end of July. But like baseball season, the July games don't matter as much. You got the All-Star game in there.
The other key date, you know, just for football, for reference, is May 2nd. May 2nd is a key date because any free agent that is signed after May 2nd, there's no compensatory loss of
pick
or that, you know, like, in other words, if you sign a free agent before May 2nd, but you lose a free agent, there's no compensatory picks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sign a free agent after May 2nd, which there'll be a number of, and still a lot of good football players out there, there's no compensatory pick given to the team that loses the player after May 2nd. You see what I'm saying?
I do. Yes.
It's a weird kind of thing. And you saw what the competition committee was talking about now. So they're going to keep the dynamic kickoff. They want to keep the dynamic kickoff.
Yeah.
But they also want to allow teams to call for an onside kick at any point in the game, not just in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
And then they're talking about replay.
But they still have to call for it. They still got to tell you about
it. Yes, exactly.
Okay. And then with the replay you were saying?
well, there's going to be some modification, most likely to replay, to really figure out exactly what they're doing. Let's wait and see exactly what they come up with. But it seems like they're going to be a little bit more aggressive with replay usage.
Okay.
In certain situations.
I still stand by it that dynamic kickoff is the most jarring rule change in my lifetime.
Well,
I've seen in professional sports.
They also want to move the touchback now, as opposed to the 30, bring it out to the 35. So they saw a slight increase in returns, but they want to see more returns. So,
I thought the whole point of this was to not get returns because people get hurt during them.
Well, when you're running 50 yards full speed down the field to try to cover a kick, yes, or 70 yards.
Yeah, okay.
But now with the dynamic kickoff, the way it's set up, they say less injuries, less concussions, but they want more returns. So therefore, they're going to penalize the kicking team more. If they kick it through the end zone, they're going to put the ball on the 35-yard line as opposed to the 30-yard line.
Okay. Understood. Oh, the great Anthony in Belleville. What's going on, Andy?
Boomer and Gio. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you want,
oh,
Andy?
Oh, yeah.
What do you want?
Welcome back. Welcome back. Hey, Boomer, you always say pressure is a privilege, and your so-called needle mover, Juan Soto, fanned on first day of the season. Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. Boomer.
Yeah, by the way, Andy, hold on for 1 second.
Okay.
Gio is the one that's saying that Juan Soto is the needle mover. Why are you pointing this at me?
Well, you know, you're the man on the show, you know?
Okay. All right. So what else you got?
And did you wind up taking McMonagle's spot, or did you take the spot behind him?
I ended up taking the spot that was behind him because it was closer to the door.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Okay.
But, hey, go Yankees.
All right. See,
he has like a 45-second window before he completely, his brain doesn't allow him to speak anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, he's got this idea that he's come up with, and he says it. And then he has like maybe like half of a follow-up, and then he's done. That's why I stay away from it, because I just want to see how bad it gets of him dying and drowning on the air during his phone calls. He's like, yeah, ooh, ooh, go Yanks.
Yank.
And then sometimes he has to hang up because he doesn't know what to do. And he's been on the air 10 million times. You'd think he'd be used to it.
He's a great listener. He actually comes up with some pretty funny ideas.
Occasionally.
He just doesn't know how to end them.
Yeah, that's true. Very awkward. Doesn't know how to walk away from the phone call conversation. Doesn't bring enough material. It's not a guy you can really have a conversation with. As you're basically in his world on his terms, and then that's that.
Mm.
I bet you he got jealous, though, when he heard Dan and Carteret yesterday. Because we hadn't heard from Anthony, and Anthony and Dan have had a battle over the years of who was the biggest fan and those things. And then Dan calls yesterday. All of a sudden, I see Anthony up there. Mm-hmm. Something going on there.
Reactionary.
Sniff that one out.
We both knew it as soon as we saw Anthony's name up there.
And then, of course, I get tagged in. So Dan has this phone call about how yesterday at the end of the show about how the Giants have never drafted a black quarterback and they're never going to draft one. They're not going to draft one this year because of their history and this and that. We're arguing with him over this, the whole thing, with his point. And then, of course, I get tagged in like 50,000 of his responses with other people that were listening to the show.
And were ripping him.
That were ripping him, that tagged me, and then he found those, and then he's going on and on. So, like, I had to remove myself from the whole thing. I can't do this. I can't be reading Dan and Carteret defending his Giants black quarterback point with people on my phone all day. This is not a healthy thing to do.
Speaking of quarterbacks, I did speak to, you know, one of my buddies within the NFL who does all the evaluations for a lot of different teams and everything. And he gave me a very, very unique comparison for Shedeur Sanders.
Teddy Bridgewater?
No. No.
Chad Pennington?
I think people like to do, you know, different comparisons so you can get a sense of what you think a person's going to turn into.
Okay.
And I actually kind of liked it. And it really made a lot of sense to me because I do trust this guy and I do trust this evaluation. He said, you know, he wrote up a whole dossier on him and all the different things that he liked and he didn't like. But the one thing that he really, really liked about Shedeur was that he will stand in the pocket and he will take a hit. And he throws the in cuts really well. And you could see that over and over and over again. All the in cuts were really well. And, you know, he was not a panicky guy in the pocket at all. As a matter of fact, he would take a hit and throw it and he'd still be accurate. He compared him to, he said, I don't know if he'll turn out to be as good as this guy, depending on what fans think about this particular guy. I kind of like the guy and I've always liked the guy, and that is Dak Prescott.
Yeah, Dak doesn't run as much.
He compared him to Dak. He says he's not as big as Dak, but, you know, he goes, look, that would be my safe comparison. I don't know if he'll turn into that. Hopefully he gets to a place where he can flourish, and the offense at that place is going to run is going to take advantage of what he does well, and the coach is going to be a good, smart coach that's going to help him adjust to the NFL game. And that was his comparison, which I thought was a fair comparison.
Yeah, so speaking of Shador, I guess Deion found out who the anonymous assistant coach was that was slamming Shador and saying that the meeting that he had was terrible in the way he was acting, and, you know, got in his face about it.
Do we know who conversation. It is?
He didn't say who it was, though, right?
He didn't say who it was?
No, but you know what was weird? Oh, it was Josina Anderson after that. She said that she was told it was a strange number. It was a top seven pick.
You know who picked seventh?
The Jets.
Right. Could have been the Jets.
Could have been a top 10 pick, she could have said. Right. Made it, like, 10's the number that people use. Top 7. Strange.
So it has to be the Jets. Why would you? I mean, maybe they're trying to put negative things out there so he falls to them.
It's possible.
You nasty. You nasty.
Yeah.
That's probably what he said to the guy when he found him.
Hey, you nasty.
Who on the Jets coaching staff would have said that?
Well, it said it was a quarterback coach. Is what they said.
Well, the Jets have like a 22-year-old quarterback coach, don't they? I mean, their offensive coordinator is like 29.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
Tanner Engstrom. What's wrong with that? We talked about all offseason where they needed experienced guys.
Yeah, but we're past that now.
Yeah, I know, because they hired a bunch of newbies. All right, what do you got there? Assistant coaches. That's defense, right? They're on defense. So it was a quarterback coach.
Yeah, but I'm on the coach's website.
Oh, okay.
there's the coordinators. There's Tanner.
Okay. Defense. Quarterbacks.
I'm looking for him.
Quarterback. There he is. Charles London. He's not as young as I thought.
No. Yeah. You think Charles London?
Is the guy who's slamming Shador? I don't know. He said it was a quarterback coach on a top seven drafting team.
All right, well, he's been in the league for 16 years. Nearly 20 years.
Okay.
So we often talk about lack of experience and, you know, the fact that you have a rookie head coach, rookie offensive coordinator. You have an experienced coach.
Experienced coach, yes. 16 years been around. Could this be the guy? The bad mouthing guy.
So would they tell you top seven because it's the sixth and they want to throw you off? Who picks sixth?
Is that the Raiders?
I think so, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Raiders wouldn't be doing that then.
Well, unless they want him to fall to them.
You nasty.
So it's not the Jaguars. Jaguars don't care.
They don't care.
Right.
They're foreigners.
Not the Patriots.
They don't care about him.
Right. It's the Patriots. They don't care. So both of those guys have their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So it has to be either the Titans, the Browns, the Giants, the Raiders, or the Jets. It's got to be one of those teams.
He also said, too, by the way, in this latest interview, that if he's drafted by the Browns, it's going to be fine. So we'll see. Push comes to shove there. It'd also be a smart thing to say that ahead of time, and then if it doesn't happen, then everybody believed that if he was drafted by the Browns, it would have been fine. You don't have to say we're not playing for the Browns until you get drafted by the Browns. So we will see.
Mm.
Shador.
So, Shador. But somehow Deion found the guy.
Of course he did.
Wish my dad would have found the guy.
You nasty!
You nasty!
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday.
So how are you doing in your fundraising? Everybody else is doing great.
What do you mean everybody else?
Allie's doing great.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Marash did great this week.
Yeah, with Brian Roscona helping out. I know you know the answer to that question because I heard you guys talking about it on Tuesday.
Yes.
And Taco Frank called in.
Yes, he was.
So we're doing well.
So I hear you. How's this golf outing going?
Yeah. So Jerry and I auctioned off a foursome, including he and I.
Yes.
So, you know, the winner of the auction and a guest with Jerry and myself, dual golf foursome. So I thought we'd raise a couple $100 or something. It would be nice because, you know, we don't know where we're going to play. We don't have access to these, you know, five-star courses the way someone like you does. So we're up to 26 bids, and we still got a couple days to go. It's at $915.
Wow, nice.
So I feel pressure to, you know, really come through for whoever ends up winning here.
Yeah,
make
well,
sure it's a memorable experience.
It's like when I do the stuff that I do, like all the stuff that, like that $915, that goes right to the bottom line of the foundation.
Of course, yeah.
You're not taking any expenses out of there to go play at some five-star place.
I'm not looking to take any expenses out.
$400.
No. I just want to make sure we do right by this person, you know? And when I say we, Jerry's doing me a favor. It's really myself.
So, the expectations are what?
I didn't outline any expectations.
You didn't say you're playing Augusta, did you?
No, we said at a course TBD, depending on where the winner lives.
Okay, do you know where this guy who's leading, assuming it's a man?
It could be a lot of people.
Doug Wells will have no problem setting you up over there at Team Process. He loves this program, loves CMO.
He's not a member there. He can't do that.
He's kind of a member. He's a half of a member. They have the caddies have the thing that says Wells on the back. They got one of those.
Like all them watermelon head.
Yeah.
you end up down there, you know, quite a few times.
Yes, I did. I have, yes.
And you're not even a local. You know, Jerry and myself, we are.
Listen, so. I've had the pleasure of playing that place a number of times, too, because we're invited by members who like to have us around.
I mean,
if you know a member who likes you, who'd like to have you around,
well,
then you can
the thing about it is you'd have to go unescorted because there's four of you.
That's another
problem. Unescorted.
Yeah, I got
so unescorted. So not a lot of... Yeah,
took me a second to realize what he was saying.
Some private places don't allow unescorted.
Well, understandable.
You just have to find something.
Unescorted. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, it's not great.
Jerry belongs to a nice place.
He does, yes. But
what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it. We got to see where the...
$915 round.
Yeah, but it's not that. It's the fellowship with CeeLo and Jerry talking sports and playing golf.
By the way, speaking of, and I don't know if there's a backstory behind this, but speaking of the fundraisings, you got four guys on your team,
six.
No, I'm not talking about you.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Four guys on Team Boompa.
Yes.
Three guys I know and have ridden with before, you, Chris Patera, and Dave Anderson.
Yes.
You also have a fourth guy here.
Yes.
Kurt Dillmeyer.
He could be a problem, yes.
So I'm just going to read you the stats, and you tell me if there's a backstory here. I don't know, but this is what's on the website. Money raised, Chris Patera, $8,900.
Wow.
Money raised, Dave Anderson, $8,825. Money raised, Kurt Dillmeyer, $75, which is the entry fee to be a part of the team.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So what's going on there?
He's an interesting guy. And I know that he will see this and pay attention to it. And when the time comes,
he'll step up.
He will definitely step up.
Okay, but he's a friend of yours.
Definitely a friend of mine.
He stinks.
I kind of say that a little bit loosely because other friends of mine who are friends of him, you know, he's a little out there.
Oh, okay.
Right? So
surprising you'd put a little out there guy on Team Boompa. You don't normally.
Well, I mean, I've known him for a long time. And his brother have both ridden in the Five Borough Bike Tour and have done a great job over the years. And I asked him, would you want to be on my team? And he said, yes. And then I saw him last weekend. I said, how you doing? Just to try to, you know, get him moving a little bit. He goes, oh, I'm good. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
And I said, okay. Yeah, but he has a history of doing it.
Right.
And coming through.
I just remember when CeeLo only had the $75 there, you're all over his ass, and now he's got over $20,000.
No. We have over 15 on our way to hopefully raising 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which would be incredible.
That's, between the golf
Oh my God. Auction. Bid auction. Yeah. Thank you. Jeez, my brain's not working. And we, you know, we can do some of these guest bartending events beyond what Marash did.
Yes.
You know, I think we can get there.
Yeah.
And I'll throw out one more time. Tomorrow, Nutty Irishman, Farmingdale. I will be there 2 to 5 guest bartending. It is an awesome place, great big place. I got an outdoor, and it's going to be a beautiful day. I got an outdoor bar there as well, so it's going to be awesome. Every single cent goes to the Boomer Esiason Foundation and Allie's team tomorrow, Nutty Irishman, Farmingdale, 2 to 5.
Let's go to Carl down in Brio. Carl, what's happening?
Hey, gents. I heard you guys talking about that auction. I'd be happy to donate $1,000 and host it at my club so it doesn't cost you any money.
That sounds beautiful. Where's your club at?
Manasquan River.
Okay.
Does he get it? He wants it right now, though. He wants this to be done.
Close me over. Close it right
close
now.
Close it right now.
He wants, meaning he wants to be the winner? I mean, yes. Close the... Oh, I see.
And this
way,
golf course and everything, he's going to host you and Jerry.
Okay.
$1,000. Yeah, it sounds like a winner to me.
Is that
so? The $1,000 goes right to the bottom line, and I'll host the whole day.
You guys tell me, you Boomer and Gio being the experts here, is that the right thing to do with the other folks that have bid online?
I listen to this guy stepping up right now.
I know that.
Stepping up in a big way, yeah.
It's hard not to say yes, or maybe what you do is you take this one you say yes to, and then maybe you do another one.
Okay.
Depends how committed you are.
I don't know if I can commit Jerry to it. I'm committed to it. Jerry's not here. I don't know if I want to commit him to doing it.
All right, so
second,
what we'll do, we'll put him on hold. We'll put you on hold there, Carl, and I will get your number, and CeeLo will reach out to you.
That sounds like a good
idea.
And
I think we can close the deal here.
My bad. I was like, where's your club at? Like, I thought he was saying he would be like the middleman. We could come play at his place.
Yes.
He wants us to play there, and he wants to be the guy to donate the money.
Yes, which is awesome.
That is great.
All right, so you hang on, Carl, and then CeeLo will call you after the show.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
It's always about following up.
Maybe we can double down.
Yeah, maybe you follow up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to follow up.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Do you know the person who has bid $915?
You know, it's funny you say that. I have not even looked to see the names. I'm just tracking the number of bids. I'd have to log into my whole thing
here. Okay, all right, no problem.
I figured, as we got a little closer, because we still have until Monday, so we still have another 3 days to go here.
All right, well, you just talk to Carl and just keep that open.
Yeah.
All right, very good.
All right,
CeeLo, what's going on?
All right, Austin Wells wasting no time yesterday. Catcher leading off for the first time in Yankees franchise history, and also the first Yank to hit a leadoff homer on opening day.
Peralta from the third base side of the rubber, 2-0. Pitch swung on, high drive right field. Line drive going back and reaching up. It is gone. A home run for Austin Wells, and what a start to the 2025 season for the New York Yankees. Hey now!
Dave Sims here on The Fan. Early homers from Wells and Anthony Volpe. Carlos Rodon getting through 5 1/3, 7 strikeouts in that little trip and fall he took running over to cover first base on a grounder to Paul Goldschmidt. Yankees end up winning the game 4-2 after Devin Williams survived a 36-pitch top of the ninth against his former team to secure the save. Little different than pitching in Milwaukee, however.
It's the same game in my mind, you know. Obviously, there's a little bit of different expectations, more eyes on you here, but none of that's going through my mind when I'm on the mound.
Prior to him, it was Luke Weaver on the mound in the eighth, so he's new to Joe Buck, who was back calling baseball yesterday on ESPN, and he noticed something that they do in stadium for Weaver in the Bronx as Joe Girardi was in the middle of making a point.
Down and has a lot of depth as well, and he will eventually get higher velocity as he builds arm strength through the season, and that changeup even gets better.
Is that what they do here? I just heard the sound effect of Darth Vader with Luke on the mound. Is it two strikes? And
it's one night that I would get freaked out when they would have Star Wars night here.
Yeah, you didn't like that.
It scared me.
Chewbacca, you don't like him?
Scared me.
A little sample of the back and forth they had going yesterday. You both have checked out on that. All right. Let's see. I got one more Keith McPherson for you, who came on after the post game show here on The Fan. You know, long day. He was up at 4:15. Pre-game Corona event at Stands, as Boomer informed me. He goes to the game that he's got to come do a 4.5-hour show. But no place he'd rather be, and no other day he'd rather live, as it turned out.
I told somebody today I have more fun here on my birthday. Then on my birthday, I have more fun on opening day than Christmas. I'm like, this holiday is different, bro. The culture that exists on 161st and River when the Yankees are about to start playing, it's different.
Voice was struggling a little bit, but he was fired up about one
made it all the way, though, right?
To the Yankees season. He sure did, all the way to midnight, and then he had the five-hour midnight run.
That is a marathon day for him, man.
It really is. Yeah, McMonagle went to the game as well, so long day for him. Then he did the overnight 12 to 5. So
these guys are committed, man.
Committed.
He's got to drag himself around, too.
I know, wearing that Gleyber Torres sheet, as you call it.
That's unbelievable.
All right, in Houston, the Mets try to mount a ninth inning rally. They get a run across on a Francisco Lindor sack
fly. I did see him leaving the building, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I saw him coming out. I was like, oh, he just looks so sad.
Yes, he does.
Even though his team won and he's wearing the jersey, just at that point in the day when he was tired, he just looked so sad.
He's tired.
Sad. No, I get it. I get it.
And then I yelled at him.
Wow.
Quite a bit.
I felt bad now that you thought that he was sad before that.
Speaking of sad, here's Josh Hader on the mound facing Juan Soto, who represented the go-ahead run Mets and Astros in Houston.
Hader to the belt. Here's the payoff pitch. And a swing and a miss and a slider, strike three, and the ball game is over. Soto tried to hold up on a slider down and away. Looked like it would have been ball four, but Soto just could not check his swing.
Howie Rose.
Juan Soto!
You stink.
All right. Well, maybe just in that one at bat. Final call on Odyssey Mets Radio as they take a 3-1 loss. He was on base three times prior to that. So I played you the isolated short version of Evan Roberts this morning from the Rico Bronya podcast, getting after Soto a little bit. I went back and checked the full. It was actually the final thought of what was a 52-minute episode.
Please get through the season with us. Hopefully it won't be a disaster. And Juan Soto, wake the hell up. We can't be having these weak swings at sliders 3-2 in the dirt to lose a game to the Astros. Thank you very much for listening, downloading, and subscribing to another edition, the first regular season edition of 2025. Of Rico Bronya.
And as we learned this morning, the reason he was a little chapped about all this is the Yankee fans were blowing up his phone as soon as Juan Soto struck out, and he felt they were trying to spike the football after game one of the season. So we'll see how they fare tonight in game two. 8-10 start. Tylor Megill opposed by Hunter Brown. All right, a couple of basketball things I wanted to get to before moment of the day. NBA-wise, the Lakers off that LeBron buzzer-beating tip-in the night before against the Pacers were now facing the Bulls to complete a back-to-back. Lakers went up one with just a few seconds remaining. Last chance for the Bulls. We pick it up with Adam Amin and Stacey King on the call for the Chicago Sports Network and a Josh Giddey half-court attempt.
Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddey for the win.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe this. Elizabeth, I'm coming, baby. I love
impossible!
Magic Giddey. Good day, mate. Somewhere in Australia, Sydney or Melbourne, Paul Hogan is somewhere here, Crocodile Dundee.
So they're losing their minds.
That's their 33rd win of the season. What they all say, you would think that Josh Giddey would be, all of these guys, probably practice these shots at the end of practice or before practice even starts. And he was so left wide open.
Yeah, holds the follow through. And
yeah,
everything.
I mean, it's like he practices every day, right?
I'm sure. Or at the end of, you know, pregame warm-up, shoot-arounds, all that. See, Steph Curry does that stuff all the time.
Yes.
Into the locker room. So, yeah, it's a little bit more natural than it once was. Here was Giddey in the aftermath on court assessing his heroic shot.
I've never made a game winner before. I made a couple layups to put us up with a couple seconds left, but a walk-off like that from half court I've never done before. So I don't know if I'll ever do it again, but I'll take this one tonight.
And then conversely, you had the always blunt J.J. Redick.
I guess what's the immediate reaction?
Devastation. It's a hell of a way to lose a basketball game.
Yeah, well, they enjoyed the other side of it the night before, so they'll live. Clippers and Nets tonight, 7:20 coverage here on The Fan. Knicks visit the Bucks. Hockey-wise, you get the Devils in Winnipeg. The Rangers visiting the Ducks out in Anaheim. Matt Rempe's out week to week with an upper body injury, so we won't get a Matt Rempe, Jacob Trouba
fight or something.
I don't know. They just gave you upper body. But
so who does Trouba run at tonight?
Not sure. But I'm looking forward to seeing who it might be.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a lot, that's for sure.
Better keep the head up. Coming through the neutral zone or inside the blue line, Trouba train might be coming for you. All right, moment of the day. Lots to digest here because you guys coming back from break in hysterics as Gio jammed the vajankles that he keeps in his office into the brand spanking new CBS Sports Network sneakers that you debuted and showed off earlier in the show. And you guys were so focused on that, I think you missed Eddie playing Jerry Poop Drops because he's getting a colonoscopy done today.
It's Boomer and Geo Cody Alive with Bill Ford Dump Studio. Oh, my God. I put the bajankles into the CBS Sports sneakers, and they're trying not to show. But I don't think you can't see them.
You,
like,
can't,
if
you, see, you can't see
you
what
can't
they are.
See the top of them. You can't see what they are. It's only on the top. So, it, yeah, see, you can't see it. You can't.
You should have thought about that.
I know. I'm so mad at myself.
Well, you recovered in time before the show ended, and we're still enjoying that for the visual audience. It basically looks like someone had their legs chopped off.
I mean, if you don't know what it is, it looks like these are, you know, like mannequin ankles.
Yeah.
You know, just ready for...
For a good time.
Yes, and hopefully Jerry's okay as he went through his colonoscopy.
I'm sure he's fine.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I had a part two, but I can't top that. So, right in the ass. He'll be back Monday. And hopefully all will be well. And he'll learn that perhaps he's going to have to join me for a second for some fundraising activities.
Or a third, or fourth. Yeah, we got a bunch of guys here that are offering their...
Yeah, wow. Well, listen, I just reposted the link. You know, if they all want to get involved with the bidding, I mean...
I think you call these guys after the show. What do you think?
Yeah. Just line it up. I'll just come in and I can start.
We got Mike from Hoboken, Jimmy from Bayside. These guys are great.
This is what you do. You go in right now, you pick up the phone in there, and you talk to them.
Yeah. Start negotiating with everybody.
Yeah, just do it off the air. Just do it in there.
Right, like an NFL GM. I'll call you back. I got Mike in Hoboken. I got to check with him.
Exactly.
See what his offer is and go from there.
Bid them against each other.
Let's go to Steve in Colorado. Stevie, what's happening?
Hey. Boomer.
Yeah.
So you hit me in the ass with a snap hook.
That's good.
Didn't want to let that play out anymore?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where he was. Listen, I know what he was going to say.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem like he was all that engaged.
With it?
Or maybe he'd been, partaking in a few.
It is Colorado.
How did he sound to you?
It is Colorado.
He sounded, like he was a man enjoying edibles in Colorado.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I wanted to hear more from him.
I thought that was pretty funny that I hit him in the ass with a snap hook.
Yeah, I asked him why. He said it was 25 years ago. I said, well, why today did you decide to call? He goes, I just found this show on television.
He stumbled upon the vajankles, and he's like, what's going on here? Let me check this out.
I don't remember doing that, but if I did it, I'm sorry, Steve, 25 years later, but I'm glad you found us.
You saw Kay Adams got hit at the NFLPA event?
I did, yep.
The audio was kind of boring, or else I would have played it for you. But
yeah, I know. Who was the one who hit her?
I believe it was Kyemi Fairbairn, the Texans kicker if I'm not mistaken. So it looked like it was off the bounce, though. She's fine.
Yeah, she's okay. It was not one of the real dangerous ones.
He signed a glove for her like a PGA Tour pro would do, and away they went.
They went. Yeah, he probably signed something for that guy in Colorado, too, I'm sure.
I don't remember it. I do remember hitting somebody over here.
Maybe that's why he was talking like that.
Yeah,
because you hit him with that golf ball.
Snap in the ass.
He fell over, hit his head. I've been waiting to tell you this.
Right in the ass.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Hopefully the streaming issues are fixed and we don't have any more of these nonsense issues that you had yesterday. Even made it to TMZ Sports this morning. I was scrolling through. It's, MLB app crashes. Everybody's pissed. Now, it's $25 a month to stream the SNY app via MLB.com if you want to be able to do that?
Yeah, if you don't have SNY through another service.
That number seems off to me. Like, really does.
Like a premium number.
Yeah.
That's what you feel like.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, and that's the Mets. I guess that's not really Steve Cohen. Does he own any part of the SNY?
No, he doesn't own Steve Cohen. No.
He doesn't own any of it.
No, he never had. But, and I know that they're kind of preying on the fact that Mets fans are going to want to watch their team, and it's a big year for them, and they got the big superstar. And if you're someone who's just watching television, you're like, maybe I don't need
Max, or maybe I don't need Netflix, but sports fans are like, I can't not have the Mets. Like, when people call up and cancel on certain cable companies or whatever it is, you know, they'll say, oh, you know, how do I get this team? How can I watch the Rangers? How can I watch the Knicks? How can I watch the Mets? So maybe that $25, people see that, and like $25 a month is all right.
They may be better going back to get their cable package, because then you could get it all, as opposed to, like, you know, parsing it one way or the other. You know, I mean, that's the thing, like, because not every single app, whether it be YouTube TV, Fubo TV, has everything that you would want as a New York sports fan. So, like, I want to watch the Yankees. I want to watch the Mets. I want to watch the Knicks. I want to watch the Islanders and the Rangers. Yeah. And
nobody's
got
everything.
Right. Nobody has everything.
Except your traditional cable system.
That's exactly right. So Spectrum has it. Optimum has it, obviously.
Well, actually, you know, there is one service. So DirecTV Stream does have it all, but that is the most expensive of all of the streaming services. And, you know, it's essentially like having DirecTV. You know,
I had DirecTV for many years because that's who was carrying the football and the package. But I always got frustrated with it a little bit. And then I tried the stream part of it, and I didn't like the interfacing with it. Now, maybe they've improved it since I moved over to Fubo. I'm not sure. But I like the interface between, like, the way Fubo reacts, and I also like the way that YouTube TV reacts my remote.
Yes. And we're in that situation now where it's still, after all these years of trying to figure it out, there's just too many different companies, too many different interests, there are too many people that still want to do it old school ways, want to do it new school ways, wanting to save money, too much money. There hasn't been that one thing that has come along and says, all right, this is the thing that makes sense.
Do you remember when Apple TV first came out?
Yeah.
So you had to buy the box, the Apple TV, to be able to make your TV into a smart TV.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden the TV manufacturers then decided, well, why don't we just make our own TVs, smart TVs, so you don't need Apple TV.
Right, like there was the Fire Stick and Roku and other
Then you had those things. You know, the thing that I found the easiest for TVs that are not smart TVs really is the Fire Stick.
Hack the Fire Stick!
Whether you hack it or not, but it's a very easy interface and it has a very good remote control.
Yeah. Yeah, my parents have a Fire Stick. I haven't hacked it for them. They haven't got it hacked. But every time I'm over there,
They're buying their service, and they have their Optimum Wi-Fi, right? So, And I'll tell you, the high-end Optimum is great. It's amazing. It's all over the house. It's
the internet you're talking about.
Internet, yeah,
I've got it too.
Yeah, the fiber optic.
That's
what I got. I got the fiber optic.
Yeah, I upgraded that. Got that upgrade. Throw that fiber optic right in the ground. Let's do it. I'm not messing around.
You can handle everything.